Hi, this is my favourite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about trying to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to episode 8 of the season. Today, we're joined by musician Spencer Fox. Spencer is the guitarist in the New York-based band Charlie Bliss. The band have released 2 albums to date, with Guppy coming in 2017 and Young Enough in 2019. And they've recently been in the studio recording their 3rd record too. I had a great time chatting to Spencer. He's a self-confessed major Elliott Smith fan and had a lot to say on his pick for his favourite song, the YouTube rabbit holes he regularly goes down, and he even humoured my poor attempt to draw parallels between his childhood acting career with his Elliott fandom. So here he is, here's Spencer Fox.
Hi, I'm Spencer Fox. I play in a band called Charlie Bliss. My favorite Elliott Smith song for these intents and purposes is his cover of 13 by Big Star.
Yeah, and I think that's an important caveat for these intents and purposes.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, it's hard to say, isn't it? You can't.
Yeah, it's sort of those things where it's like changes day by day. But there is something really, really special about that cover that sort of when I was tasked with picking a song to talk about, it sort of just cut through all the noise and just became very quickly apparent that that was my pick for sure.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance, and I'll take
So let's get into it. Why 13? Why this Big Star cover?
A lot of things to say here. I mean, you know, right off the bat, 13 is my favorite song ever written, and Elliott Smith is my favorite musician, performer, whatever. And so the fact that my favorite musician covered my favorite song, it's like, what, you know, like, what did I do right in a past life to deserve that? It's like a dream. So that's incredibly special to me. But, you know, I think in thinking about what to pick for this, my mind initially kind of went to the more, you know, intricately composed, you know, melodically exciting songs, the more like lush Elliott Smith songs, because I think that is truly like what drew me to him initially. But I don't know. I feel like I could talk for hours about like the way that he composes and writes chord progressions and stuff. But I think maybe the more compelling thing that I wanted to talk more so about are the more like innate qualities of Elliott Smith. So, you know, things just like the quality of his voice, the way he like played guitar, these like really more intimate things about the way that he played music and performed that are sort of the most like magical things about him and the things that really get my brain sort of like working overtime. And I think this cover is a really, really beautiful place to, you know, sort of inspect those things and talk about those things, because, you know, as somebody who has listened to so much of his recorded material, of his live material, especially when he's just performing in front of a microphone, there's like a sense of tenseness that he has when he's playing his own material. And I think he was like a very self-conscious performer, had a lot of anxiety. But I think to any sort of like Elliott Smith obsessive who has also gone through all of the covers he's done, you can kind of feel like a sense of release and relief in him playing other people's material. It's almost like some of his guard comes down and there's like a little bit more air, there's a little bit more freedom in it. And so I think that really comes across in this performance, and it really does just sound like a kid in his bedroom, like playing along to one of his favorite songs, you know?
And that's what this song is about, really, isn't it? It's about being an innocent teenager kid, being in love, and yeah.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it's like, it's not even innocence. It's just like, you know, I think Elliott Smith was somebody who, like, above all other things, just like loved music so deeply in a way that like is kind of rare for any one person to love any one thing as entirely and as purely as he did. And I think the way that he performs other people's material, that like sort of wholesome, like true love of just music and his favorite bands just comes through. And I think something about this song being so tender and so touching, it just really comes across, I think, in this performance, that this is a man doing something that like he was put on earth to do, which comes across in other things. But again, especially with the more pared down songs and live recordings, you do kind of hear this sense of tenseness, this sort of, you can hear the sort of inner critic working. Whereas I feel like, especially with this recording of 13, it's just so comfortable. It feels like second nature. And that, I don't know, it's just beautiful.
And he, if you compare his version, you know, this recording, which is on the one that we're talking about, is really from New Moon. He really takes a much more like stripped back approach, it seems, oh, man, from the original.
Yeah. I mean, and the original 13 is still pretty pared down, but you know, some glaring differences is that, especially in that instrumental section, it's like some pretty lofty overdubs happening. And I would say like the general vocal delivery is just like a lot more like triumphant and like exuberant. It is like still like a fairly melancholic, you know, reflective song, but there's some like gusto in the, you know, Alex Chilton vocal takes. And it's not that this version is like deflated, it's just like, you know, the volume's just been turned down and there is still like a real joy to the song, but it's just it's quiet, it's intimate, but it's not weak by any means. It's just like a different, it feels just like a different interpretation of the song, even though it is so true to the way it was played originally.
Won't you tell your dad, get off my back? Tell him what we said about painting it black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside, well, it's okay. And I'll shake you.
I was reading an interview with the musician Lou Barlow,
where
he said he was talking about hearing Elliot rehearsing this cover.
No
and he
way.
Said that, like, he was just brought to tears.
I mean, yeah, like any person with a beating heart should be.
What is it? What is it about his? I think you kind of mentioned it a bit, but we can talk about it a bit more. What is it about that? You know, his delivery, his performance of this song that kind of has that effect, do you think?
You know, I think his voice, you know, what we were saying before is this: these sort of like innate qualities about him. I think, you know, there are lots of ways you can convey emotion through singing. And I don't think he's doing any of those conventional things. And I don't think he ever does any of those conventional things, or at least not often. There's not a lot of affectation or punctuation in his vocal delivery. It is always very straightforward. And if anything, it's just very naturally inflected from the lyrics or the, you know, general intensity or the mood or whatever. But I think his voice just has this quality to sort of be a chameleon and just fade into whatever emotions are being told through the lyrics and the sound. So it's almost like whatever he's singing about, his voice just sort of naturally lends itself to that. So if he's singing this sort of, you know, very touching reflection and ode to adolescence, it's going to be this heartbreaking, you know, forlorn, but also very joyous reflection that I think, you know, the reason why 13 is so beautiful is that there's something in that song that will make any person, you know, yearn for being a teenager again. And you pair that with someone whose voice is so naturally heartbreaking and so naturally beautiful. It's just this like perfect chemistry. It's like, you know, too good to fail. You know, I think it's sort of this collection of memories and images of like a first love. And I think it's so effective and so artful because of the moments it chooses to mine. You know, first verse is just this, like, you know, seemingly this, you know, young protagonist building up the courage to ask out a crush to a dance. And then the second, it seems like some things have progressed in the relationship, and now he's sort of thinking about wanting to, you know, get this girl's dad off of his back. And then it goes to this really like beautiful, like the last verse in that song is just like so mind-blowingly gorgeous, in that it seems like by the end of the song, they've like both really entered this like beautiful, tender place with one another. And it ends with him being like, will you let me love you? If not, like, all good, I'm out. But if yes, like, please tell me. And I think like in those three like little vignettes that each of the verses present, there is some, you know, DNA or connective tissue that everybody has experienced in their young life. And it speaks to the adolescent experience and young love in a way that is so succinct, but also so real and so true, that I'd be hard pressed to think of another like piece of art that makes me feel similar things.
Yeah, completely. Like, it's amazing how it's so, as you say, succinctly and simply just cuts to the point.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's like the final word on young love. Yeah. You know, like
nothing more needs to be said.
He did it. Fucking he did it. Yeah, it's just it's perfect. It's perfect art, I would say.
And I want to talk a bit more about you and your relationship to the song. Do you remember when you first came across it, when you first heard it?
Oh, God. Is it possible that it was in an episode of Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, it's been in a lot of different TV shows and films. Oh, I was looking earlier, like That 70s Show, it definitely was in.
Well, yeah, they, you know, obviously love their big star sinks. But God, it was in, I hate myself for not remembering what it was in, but it certainly was in some movie or TV show that I saw at a fairly young age. And I remember just being like, fuck, like this shit smacks, when I was like 13, and then not finding it again until getting into Big Star much later, again, through Elliot Smith and through The Replacements, just shouting them out, going through their catalog and being like, oh, this stuff is cool. It's like a little too maybe classic rock leaning for me. Like, my, you know, train of thought as I'm going through their first record, and then hitting 13 and being like, oh my God, here's this song again. This is one of the best things ever made.
So it was really the Elliot Smith version came after you hearing the Big Star version first.
Yeah, much later. And then I don't know, it's like, I think when you hear a cover of a song that means a lot to you, you almost get like protective at first. You're like, all right, buddy, like you think you can cover this song, like sit down. And then every once in a while, you hear it, you hear said cover, and you have no choice but to just like let your guard down and just like let it wash over you and maybe question the notion that perhaps somebody can perfect something that they did not create.
Yeah. Are there any other Elliott Smith covers that you particularly like?
Yes. Two that immediately come to mind are Waterloo Sunset.
Yeah.
And Elliott Smith's cover of John Bryan's Trouble.
Yeah. They're amazing. I feel like that's such a good, that moment where of your Elliott Smith fandom where you're like, I'm getting into YouTube now.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm really pretty gross about my obsessive sort of internet black holes. I've like scoured all. I think I've gone through every single page of the Elliott Smith Getty Images results like countless times. You know, read all the old like WordPress and blog spots, and yeah.
There's some good stuff out there.
there's some good stuff. You just got to know where to look.
and obviously, you know, we were saying this is on New Moon. Definitely the first time I came across it was after getting New Moon. I guess shortly after it came out.
Yeah.
And I find New Moon actually is something that I go back to quite a lot. I might never listen to it from start to finish, but there are some amazing songs on there. This included.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a cool body of work because it spans such a large port, like it spans the majority of his career. So you're getting little things that sort of fell through the cracks at every juncture of his career. And it's really, really cool to see the progression of his songwriting and just sort of like how the moods fluctuate, how he sort of like starts to defer to certain melodic phrases and, chords and things like that. I think it's a really interesting way to look at the progression of his songwriting.
Yeah, and I don't want to put you on the spot because sometimes it can be hard to remember exactly
what's
on what, but are there any other songs on New Moon that you love?
Yeah, I mean, the Miss Misery demo version is, I mean, it's just because that song has now taken on such massive cultural importance. Hearing it played in its infancy feels like an invaluable relic, just unbelievable. What else? The acoustic version of Half Right at the end is heart melting. Then also, you know, there's some really crazy like bombastic songs. You know, there's like this whole sort of school of Elliott Smith songs that I consider to be like the tough guy songs, where it's like almost like him doing like, you know, picking up his acoustic guitar and being like, I want to write like a hardcore song. So there's that song, I think it's Big Decision.
Yeah.
That one's really cool. Riot Coming also feels kind of like tough guy. And then I think like New Monkey, like my God, that is just like a Sgt. Pepper's B-side, you know?
Yeah. No, it's such a cool record, just like having those little things you can dip in and out of. Angel in the Snow is one that every December the 1st, I think, is probably time for Angel in the Snow.
Yeah. Crazy that didn't make it on an album.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's mad really that you just have something that good. That kind of seems like it would have fitted in with certainly the earlier stuff.
He
was just like, nah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that like those are the B-sides, right? Like songs that perfect are the ones that, you know, didn't make it onto the album. It's pretty nuts.
When I was doing some research about you and your life for this interview, saw that you were in the Incredibles film.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. Yeah. And I was just wondering whether, you know, that like less conventional childhood where I guess, you know, you were, I suppose, spending probably a lot of time out of school. Was it, did Elliott Smith help you through any any times that were made more difficult by having that?
I would love if the answer was yes. It's like, you know, day 14 of the Incredibles press tour, the only thing getting me through are those XO B-sides. No, I pretty much stopped acting entirely by the time I was about 15. So the Elliott Smith phase came decidedly after, but you know, that being said, I would say, you know, having his music in my back pocket was, you know, it's been a consistent source of comfort. And, you know, I think any person who cares about his music as much as we do would be the first to say that it is like a resource, you know, it's a real tool having these songs.
Yes. And now with Charlie Bliss, has his music influenced, you know, your work with the band?
Yeah, I think in you know, I don't think anyone's going to listen to Charlie Bliss and be like, these guys fucking love Elliott Smith. But we do. And especially me as a guitar player, I think no other musician has impacted the way that I treat the instrument more than Elliott Smith has. I remember right around the period of time when I first started getting into his music, when I was about like 14 or 15, I found this incredibly low resolution, like out of sync video of Elliott Smith, I think like in like a green room at a music festival or something. And he's like just holding his acoustic guitar and being interviewed about how he writes songs. And one of the things he talks about is being like, the thing that I care the most about in music is chord changes. And he's talking about the geometry of chords and how, you know, you can just like find this sort of internal logic of songs and of music, like through a properly written chord progression. And that's something that has really stuck with me a lot. And so when I am working on guitar parts or songs or whatever with the band, I'm always really focused on the way that the chords move and the way that I am, you know, presenting the chords in the song and trying to do them, trying to write chord structures and chord progressions and chord voicings in a way that A, fundamentally like serves the song above all else, but it's like, how can you know, convey this information as simply as possible, but also as like artfully as possible, and really putting a lot of care into that side of the writing equation. And I think that is something that Elliott Smith like truly perfected to like Bach levels of intricacy. Going through his songbook and learning to play the songs in the exact way that he played them is one of the most singularly frustrating things a musician can do, because he's playing guitar chords in a way that truly no other person ever has or ever will. Because a lot of the times they're just these contortions. You have to like break your fingers to play some of these songs. Mm. And you're like, why the fuck would he do this? Like, this is just, you know, masochistic. But then when you get it and you know how to do it and you can take some time and really look at it, you realize that that is the only way it should ever be played. It's genius and it's perfect and he should not have changed a thing. And I try to, you know, I don't quite go as far as he did, because I also have very small hands. But yeah, I think putting a lot of care into chords is something that I focus a lot on.
And you've just finished recording a new album, right? Were these, you know, you're talking about how much Elliott Smith influenced your playing. Was he kind of in your mind when you were working on this new album?
I think he's always, you know, somewhere I go to when we're in the studio or writing. And again, while it might not translate directly, like, whoever's playing this guitar part loved Elliott Smith. I think the thing that I always try to embody that I learned from his music is like, you can be good, you can be impressive without being showy and without demanding attention. It's about figuring out what a song needs and how can you best elevate a song. And from there, you can start experimenting with like, how showy do I want to get? How artful do I want to make it overtly? And then working from there, figuring out what fits and what elevates the song as a whole. I have a few other friends who are similar levels of obsessive, and it is funny, like when you get those people together and get them talking about Elliott Smith, it feels like you're talking about like a younger sibling or something, the way that you're so quick to just like, you know, speak highly of them and then also like ardently defend them against the notions of this person that are incorrect. And it's like, I don't know the person that I'm talking about. It's like this is the truest parasocial relationship I've had in my entire life.
Completely, completely. Me too. And, you know, talking about someone, as you say, like a younger sibling, when if they were alive today, they'd be nearly 55 years old.
And be like, who the fuck is this kid? Like, what are you saying? You don't know me.
Yeah,
I'm like, exactly. Yes, I do. I do. I do. It feels like I do.
Completely, completely. I also just wanted to ask you about, you know, as we said at the beginning, it's a tough choice. You picked 13.
Yeah.
But what else was in the running? What other songs were you thinking about?
You know, few things that have come to mind. I think Baby Britain is just one of the best pop songs ever made. And just heartbreaking lyrically, but just sonically, a song you want to go stroll in the park listening to. And just like, goddamn, the way that man could, you know, make you feel one thing and then you look at the lyrics and make you feel something completely else. Yeah. It's really something special. Sweet Adeline, I think, you know, the explosion, the sonic explosion that happens halfway through is just, you know, an eye-opening experience to listen to for the first time. Love the B-side, Some Song,
yeah.
It's like a pop punk song, and it's like airtight, it's like bulletproof, and it's just so catchy. And again, how did that not make it on any record? Wild. And then lastly, a song that I think is grossly overlooked. I think Memory Lane is just a golden song. You know, the sort of, you know, ragtime quality that the guitar part has, and sort of it's recorded in a very strange way. Like, it sounds like he plugged his acoustic guitar like directly into like a mixing board or something. It takes on this weird sort of like almost artificial quality. But yeah, I've always loved that song as well. A lot of these songs have become part of my like daily routines, and just, you know, I can't imagine going X amount of time without listening to these songs. It's like, it's part of my fabric, you know?
Won't you tell me what you're thinking of? Would you be an outlaw for my love? If it's so, let me know. If it's no, well, I can go. I won't make you.
Thank you very much to Spencer for being a great guest on the podcast. And do keep an eye out for new music from Charlie Bliss. It will be well worth checking out. That's pretty much it for today. As always, just to say, please do rate and review us wherever you're listening. And if you do want to get in touch, feel free to send us a direct message on social media. We're at MyFaveEthSmithSong. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks' time. See you soon. My Favourite Elliot Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Withstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavouriteelliotsmithsong.com.